From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hunch of Andy.
And Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It is Wake Up War Chant. It is presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill in Tallahassee, Florida. CPTallybar.com is the website. Coming up on today's show, talking Louisville, talking matchups. Doing it here on Wake Up War Chant, which, as always, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill in Tallahassee, Florida. Pull out your phone, camera app, QR code, snap. Go right to the website, place your order online, hop in there, hang out, be like, wow, look at this place. Tell me where Corey Clark sits, but Corey Clark jumps around all the time, so you can sit in any chair there. High likelihood that Corey Clark has bestowed his presence on said chair, so go ahead and do the same. Make the homage. Take the trip to the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. We love the place. It's fantastic. WarChant.com, Ultimate Seminole Sports Source. Listening to us on YouTube. Cool. Maybe hit the thumbs up. Maybe subscribe. Subscribe, though, for sure, to the website, WarChant.com. Still only a dollar, dude. I mean, they're going to be 3-0 ranked. Then what's your excuse, everybody? Then what's your, you know, I mean, I guess you can wait for them to get ranked, be that guy or gal. But I'd just go ahead and do it now. But I don't know. What I don't know what else I can say to Corey. Your columns, Tom's Insight, Henshaw's House with NFL offensive coordinator, former Bowden assistant George Henshaw with Ira, the 3-2-1, the rap, the recruiting. I mean, I just, a dollar for a whole year. Are we still sure about this? Is this a good business plan?
I mean, I'm not sure about it, but we're still doing it. So we're steadfast in it. But yeah, I don't know if it's for the bottom line, it's not great. For your bottom line, listener, it's exceptional. And you need to take advantage. Quit being a baby. And prove to us. Like, send us a tweet that you signed up. You know, just prove to us that you signed up. I want to see actual proof. You know, we're trying to break records over at On Three. I think we already have, but we want to set the bar so high, it's going to be like Usain Bolt. Like, nobody can catch us because they're having new sites all the time. They're adding new teams, new colleges all the time. But we want to be like the Usain Bolt, or who was the guy in the 60s, the long jump guy? Just Bob Beamon.
Bob Beamon, correct.
That record is for decades upon decades. Cy Young with 511 wins. That's how they're going to look at War Chant subscribers on Three.
Ty Cobb. Doesn't Ty Cobb have some record that's never getting broke? Or did it already get broken?
Well, no. Pete Rose broke it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm not a baseball
guy. Pete Rose is a good answer.
Well, we're just climbing.
Ty Cobb was broken.
Help us climb the tallest mountain out there, everybody, basically. Help us climb. Corey and I will be heading up to Louisville tomorrow on Thursday.
Do you think if because K2 was the second tallest mountain in the world, right?
I would assume so. The two, yeah.
Is that why they named it K2? If it was the tallest, would they have named it K1?
Man, we're not even 3 minutes in, Corey, and I got to do research. Come on, man.
I'm just saying, what a stupid name. Like, there's all these other names for mountains. Like, they took some time to think about it.
It's called K2 because it's found in the Karakoram Range to the northeast of the Himalayas on the border of Pakistan and China. When they were doing the original survey, they gave all the mountains K numbers. So that's not an answer, probably. But
so what's K1, Aslan? No. Something smaller than K2. Is there a K5? I mean, I assume it just goes all the way down the line. It just doesn't make any sense.
K1 is in Pakistan. It's almost 26,000 feet. The 22nd highest mountain in the world and the 9th highest in Pakistan.
Oh, man, Pakistan's rolling with
the mountains. I didn't realize that, yeah.
I didn't either. Good grief. You don't think of skiing. You don't think of going to Pakistan to ski, but maybe it's a great ski destination.
No, I do not, man. Do not. Yeah, the stands don't get a lot of love. I'm more of a Kazakhstan kind of guy.
Right.
Personally. Do you like me? I like you. So, practice observations, I guess maybe some. The music they play in there now, not music, but the crowd noise. It's like a psyops, so I can't even stay in there all that long. But I did like a lot of things they did at practice on Tuesday, Corey. Later tonight, Wednesday, live show, be there, 6 o'clock. Probably post a Renegade Express thread around lunchtime on Wednesday. And we'll knock that out, have it for you folks for your Friday show, because the live show will be a Thursday podcast. But anyhow, back to Tuesday's practice. They were doing a lot of things I haven't seen them do before in practice, like ever. So that was kind of neat to see, because I'm always about variety. A lot of stuff I think they did that's specific to what they think Louisville's going to be like, obviously with Malik Cunningham. Saw them do a blitz pickup drill too, which was kind of cool to see. Like, I guess maybe they're expecting the, you know, Louisville to bring some heat to Jordan, try to rattle him. Because listen, we're at the point now, I think, with Florida State, where it's like, all right, this is a good football team, so the principles of football now apply to us. It's not these weird thing where it's, you know, Florida State has to do five really weird things and have five really weird things go wrong for the opposition to win a football game. I think it's to the point now where, like, if you want to beat Florida State, you have to stop the run game and you have to get to Jordan Travis. Because as great as Jordan has become now as a thrower, I mean, I think he was kind of at a different level in 2020 when it came to running the ball. Like, we've seen him get sacked now more than escaping Houdini-like. He still does that, but maybe not as much as he did in 2020. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, Florida State's bracing for teams to try to stop the run, and then they're going to try to affect and pressure Jordan. But if they can pick things up, he's smart enough and sharp enough and confident enough to make the proper throws. So that's kind of cool to be at this level right now. But I looked at mainly a lot of the trench stuff, trying to be my poor man's Tom Lang, Persian man's Tom Lang, if you will. Man, Jared Verse, so good. I mean, not breaking news here, but not a lot to share on the observations front, Corey. But, man, he's just really, really talented. He moves in a way, I guess, like we kind of talked about Azaria moving in a certain way. But, no, man, Jared Verse is just, he's the dude. I think PFF tweeted out that he is the highest graded pass rush grade right now out of all Division I or Power 5 defensive ends. I mean, he just makes guys look bad. But in terms of, you know, your scholarship top-end guys, Verse obviously stood out to me. Demetri Emanuel had a really good rep against one of the starting defensive tackles. And then Kenai Charlton and Josh Farmer had a good sort of back and forth where Charlton just absolutely stymied and stonewalled Farmer, but then Farmer came back with a nice rip. Verse, though, gave shout-out to. He, like, dapped up Kenai after he stonewalled Josh Farmer. So that was kind of cool to see because these guys are all getting along. The family, the chemistry, all that stuff's kind of going along right now. But I heard somebody was talking about on headlines, you guys were mentioning these guys taking photos and stuff with their teammates last year after games, and you guys aren't about that life. So camaraderie only needs to be within the locker room. Like, you don't want them showing any kind of love or respect to the opposition. It's not in your DNA, Corey, huh?
Well, no, that was an Ira thing.
Oh, okay.
Ira brought it up. I don't think me and Jeff really jumped on board with that necessarily. He was talking about after the game last year with lost NC State, and he said the scene afterwards that he had 40 or 50 guys went and took pictures with Durden and Fagan after they had just won on their home field. And he said Norvell was standing in the end zone watching the whole thing. And now who knows if Norvell was upset about it or, I mean, I don't think he's ever asked about it, but it rubbed Ira the wrong way. It didn't necessarily rub me the wrong way because those guys were their teammates. And you see it all the time in the NFL. Like after every game, there's guys exchanging jerseys and dapping each other up and guys that have played with each other. And then they go to other teams, but they're still friends. Or you see it all the time with former Florida State guys that are playing in the league. They take pictures with each other, even though they're wearing different uniforms. So, you know, I don't know. I think Ira's point was, you know, they're one of the reasons Corey Durden was a big reason you lost that game. Maybe don't go celebrate with him afterwards after he's a reason. Like, make the loss hurt enough that you don't want to go be celebrating. But, you know, this team has been used to a lot of losses. I don't know. I didn't really have much of an opinion on it. I don't necessarily think it says anything about a culture that you're going to. But look, man, if Jarvis Brownlee goes and picks off the pass to win the game, I would hope not everybody's out there celebrating and taking pictures with them afterwards. I would hope there'd be some devastation there, but, you know, I don't know. And I don't necessarily judge somebody that wants to go say hey to Jarvis.
Well, how about this, though, Corey? Speaking of reading stuff on the message board, thread started by our guy, Beham FSU. Jordan Travis on the road. Heard the Wake Up War Chant guys talking about Jordan Travis, hostile environment, how he's arrived, etc. Interesting numbers. Since North Carolina last year, where I, Beham FSU, feel he entirely took over this team, he actually has a higher passer rating on the road than at home. So from that moment, There's four games on the road, two games at home. He didn't play against NC State. He's got better passer rating, which I don't know. That's a weird number. But still, though, I guess that's a stat. It goes against what we were talking about. What do you think about that, Corey? Huh? We got a.
So he's.
A game.
I assume he's counting LSU as a road on the road because I mean it wasn't in Doak.
Right. He just simply says four away games, two home games, and then Herb Kirkstreet comes behind, and I guess tries to list out the games, but it doesn't match up. So yeah, I would think that. I mean, four away games.
You're talking about North Carolina, Boston College, Florida. And then LSU.
Yeah.
I think that's how he finished up the season. Well, no, Clemson was in there too. And he did not do well against Clemson because Clemson was after North Carolina last year. Okay. But yeah, I mean, he played well at North Carolina. He played well, I thought, much better than the score or his stats even showed at Boston College. And then he played pretty well at Florida. He just got hurt and missed three really, really important series there in the first half. But, yeah, I think you might be to the point where, I mean, this is an it game right here for me. And that's something we talked about on headlines. It's like, I think after this game, if they play well, you can be in full belief that, number one, this is a good quarterback. Doesn't matter where he's playing. It travels. The really good quarterbacks, they travel. They don't just play well at home and then are kind of on the road. They're good everywhere. And good teams win on the road. So if they can go win this game, and if Jordan Travis can play well, and it looks just like he did against LSU, which, you know, there were, I know it was half and half, but there were still 35,000 LSU fans there. So it wasn't like a home game. So there'll be, 55, 60,000 Louisville fans. So it'll be a little different, but he faced 35,000 screaming Cajuns, and he handled that perfectly fine. If he can play like that again, then I think you have full belief in him, and I think you have full belief in this team that it's going to have a good season, and it is a good team. But that's why this game is so important. I don't think Jordan Travis is going to shrink in the moment because it's a road game. He's proven, like we talked about, Carolina, Boston College, Florida. He brought them back, but again, the Florida game, he had.
I can't. It's an Aslan thing. I just can't take a lot of silver linings from a game you lose to the Gators when they have an interim staff.
But he had six drives. He scored three touchdowns. Yeah, and I think they win that game. I think they win that game rather comfortably if he doesn't get hurt. I think he was driving them down the field when he got hurt. That next drive went nowhere. The next two drives went nowhere. He comes back in the game, leads him to a touchdown, and then the fourth quarter he leads him to two more touchdowns. Although they were in the prevent. So he wasn't great in that game, but he was good enough. I just think, yeah, he doesn't seem to shrink away from when he's on the road. And this certainly, he's played in tougher atmospheres than Louisville. So yeah, I don't doubt that he'll go up there and play well. I'd be surprised if he didn't.
So then why is this the prove it game though? Is it because it's going to be a true road game with this particular team?
Because stack good performances together, stack them together. Like what did they do after North Carolina last year? I actually don't remember. Was that the NC State game where they played at home and then Jordan Travis was sick and so was half the team. Lost that game.
15 tabs open, but the one tab I do not have open is the 2021 schedule for the
Noles. You're the worst, Aslan. I
had a week off, then UMass.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then they went back. Their next road game was Clemson, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and they did not play well there
at all.
I think this team is coming off its biggest win in a long, long time, and it's had a week off to get as healthy as it could get. Now it's going to an imminently beatable team. Louisville is not good. They're not horrible. They're not a joke, but they're not good. The next step for a program like this. Is, just carry it over. Carry it over. You looked good on offense. Not great. You put up 24 points. That's not incredible. But you looked good on offense. Carry that over on the road. Prove to your fan base and to yourself, I guess, which is the most important thing, that you can go play well in back-to-back weeks and control a game. Because they controlled the LSU game for large stretches. Go do that again. And because if you go and lose to Louisville, which, man, look, they're, 1.5, 2-point favorite? That's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. If you lose to Louisville, there will be some doubt that creeps into the fan base for sure. Like, oh, well, there you go. That's the Florida State we know. But also, there could be some doubt that creeps into the team. Like, yep, we blew another chance to, like, really get some momentum going. Because if you win this Louisville game, and again, you can't just chalk up W's, no matter even if it's Boston College and they've looked awful. But if you win that Louisville game, you're 3-0 and you're ranked. And then if you beat Boston College, which you should, you'll be favored by double digits, especially if you beat Louisville. If you win that game, you're 4-0, you're maybe 20th in the country, and you're playing a huge game the next week against a Wake Forest team coming off Clemson. So now all of a sudden, there's some real juice that you could be 5-0. But that's how important this game is. Like that, but you can't get to 5-0, as I always say, Aslan, until you get to 3-0. And to do that, you got to go play well. You cannot just kind of I just think it's another step for this, for what we think is a good program. I don't think losing to Louisville is necessarily a step back, because I think it's a coin flip game. I mean, the odds tell us that. But it's a step sideways, man. And wouldn't it be fun for this program, after taking what I thought was a pretty nice step in week two, to then take another step instead of a step sideways or just stay put? Like, that would be really cool. 3-0 with a road win on Louisville on a Friday night with the whole nation watching again. Is just another, I just think, positive development. Well, and if they lose, it's not the end of the world, because teams lose. It's college football. But it would be disappointing, because I think you're the better team.
What did you say? Disappointing? Is that the word you used? It wouldn't be disappointing, or it would be
devastating? No, I think it would be disappointing, not absolutely devastating. Right. It would be disappointing because you're the better team.
Yes. Yes. That's a crux, I think, of where I'm at currently, is that I think – I mean, listen, they lost to Jacksonville State. They were a more talented team than them. So this has happened before with this coaching staff. But with this current incarnation of this team, I just don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to play that are just supremely more talented than maybe. I just think they are more talented than Louisville. I get it's on the road, but your quarterback has shown, although I have this conversation with myself where I'm like, self, like, chill out. I mean, he hasn't even put up, like, you know, 300 yards in the air. It was Duquesne in one game, LSU. You know, there's moments where things didn't go their way offensively. But I don't know. I mean, I think I saw enough in the LSU game to believe that he's going to be more than up to this task and for the next 9 games after this. But I just feel they're more talented than Louisville. And you listen, A&M was more talented than App State. They lost to them. Notre Dame's probably more talented than Marshall. They lost to them. That stuff happens. But you don't feel good about yourself afterwards. Like, I will not be devastated. I will be somewhere between disappointed and devastated. Find a better adjective. I'm not going to just be like, yeah, I'll just sidestep ways. It's all right. Keep moving. Keep climbing. I'll be hurt. I'll be hurt if they lose to Louisville. So don't lose to Louisville, guys. You're more talented than they are. You have a better quarterback. No excuses. And your kicker's better than their kicker, too. Everything, oh, I looked on their stats.
Maybe.
Their kicker's completely, like, is on 70% of his kicks this year. Fitzgerald's hit 80% of his kicks.
But he hit his last two, buddy. He hit his last two. Those were big ones, too. All he right. hit his last two against Central Florida.
Right now, Florida State, 2.5-point favorite still over on mybookie.ag. The over-under, 56 points. Oh, let's go ahead and pair them together. So if you're feeling really bullish on your Noles right now, which you should. Although it's crazy, it says, I thought it said not including overtime. I was like, what are we doing, my bookie? It includes overtime. So right now, if you pair those two together, the Noles, 2.5, and then the over, you bet $20, you could win $52 American over at mybookie.ag. And if you use the promo code WARCHANT, your first deposit will be doubled right then and there instantly. So you'll even have more to put around on the board as we go into week 3 of the college football season. Is it week 3 or is it week? Yeah, it's week 3. The week 0 thing. It's just going to ruin
it. It throws you off. I get it. Yeah.
Anything you want me to check for you, Corey? Any other interesting lines? I like Nebraska 11.5 at home. I think Mickey Joseph's going to rally the Huskers. I think they'll keep it close.
What's that Miami A&M line?
Let's go to the Miami A&M line, which is...
It's a late start. It's a 9 p.m. kick Eastern, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I'll be at Pearl Jam.
5-point favorites.
I was going to say, like, it would not stun me at all. That seems like a game that Jimbo comes out, wins by 2 touchdowns, and then just talk smack to everyone. Y'all wrote us off. Y'all wrote us off. Guys, y'all don't understand how college football works. Y'all don't understand. Like I'm up here reading that I can't coach anymore, and these guys aren't any good because we lose one ball game. Yeah, funny how that worked. Now wait to see what we do against Alabama. Watch what we do to them. Watch what we do to that loudmouth. Doesn't that seem like something Jimbo does? Like has the most embarrassing loss of his career, and then goes and beats Miami by two touchdowns. That's all I'm saying. I'm not maybe putting money on that necessarily, but that would not stun me. Hey, go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
Oh, thanks, Corey. Our South Alabama Jags are 15.5-point underdogs at UCLA. We're going to keep Ryan South Alabama until they burn us.
They're maybe. Only 15.5?
Yeah, 15.5.
All right. Okay.
I haven't even seen one game from UCLA this year.
I haven't either. That seems like a low number, though.
Yeah, it's kind of early L.A., yeah. West Coast time. Who knows? Have your fun. Get your deposit doubled on the spot with the War Chant promo code over at mybookie.ag.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Back and look at some of these numbers, Corey, from Louisville. It's just funny that they're not bragging, but when they write their game notes, each school releases their own game notes. They have to kind of prop up what they're doing out there. You know, hey, check us out. We're living large. And, like, they're averaging, I think, over 5.5 yards per play right now. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I go look at Florida State, and Florida State's averaging 7 yards per play. Now, again, Duquesne, obviously.
Right.
Their punter apparently is one of 7 punters in the country right now that's averaging over 47 yards per punt. He's at, like, 47 and a fraction. Our guy Master Romano is averaging 48 yards.
That's right. With 2 muffs, yeah. With 2 fumbles. He's only punted 3 times, right?
Yeah. It's weird because on Seminoles.com, it shows that his long is 99 yards.
Well, you can't. There's some stuff going on with there the stats there that on, you just, yeah. it's impossible.
Frustrating. 3 punts, 144, 48-yard average. He's had 3 inside the 20.
And one of them went inside, the one against Duquesne rolled out at like the 4, right?
I don't recall. That might have been
it was the last punt of the game. It was the only punt of the game. It was in the fourth quarter, but it was it rolled out at like the 4 or the 5.
We couldn't see anything, you know, all the condensation on the mirror.
Well, I was on the field, buddy. I got to be on the field for the end of the game, right. So that was exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, these are the things you see Louisville trying to hang their hat on. And you're like, all right, man. But every move you make on the chessboard, we're just like, check, check, nope. And then Friday night's going to be checkmate. So, but quarterback Malik Cunningham, again, 48% completion percentage. That's not going to do well. That's not going to serve you well. But anything about Jordan that you wanted to go double back on as we come back out of break?
Yeah, you know, I just went back and looked over his game log just for the last 2 years, the games he's actually played. And it really is, like, when you step back and look at it, you're like, man, he's good. Like, he's good.
He's very good. He's very good, man. He is.
So, but it goes back. So that Wake Forest game they lost last year, he was 5 of 5 for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns until he got crushed on the Hail Mary that was intercepted at the end of the half. He had a rating of 309 in that game. Now, I know that's a small sample size. It was 6 total attempts. But he was 5 for 5 until the end of half Hail Mary, and they didn't play again. The next week against Syracuse, it was a really bizarre, or I guess it was 2 weeks after that, was a bizarre game plan. He was 22 of 32, so that's a good completion percentage, but it was only for 131 yards. He did run for 113 yards, though. And then at North Carolina, he had his best ever game. He had a QB rating of 254. He also ran for 121 yards, 5 combined touchdowns. Clemson, we all remember Clemson as a disaster, right? Like, he was not good at all. He was 14 of 22 for 176 and 2 touchdowns.
I'm sorry, but the one completion was like 70 yards to Toa Feely. And I know it counts, but it was such a bizarre, wacky play. And all,
but
you know,
that, I mean, it was still a 50-yarder, but you can't remove it. He put it on the money. You can remove the last 20 yards because it was a crazy flippy-do. But he put that money, he put that ball exactly where he had to. And again, he's doing this with not a lot of weapons. In the Clemson, and I'm just saying, I'm not trying to argue that he played well. But, you know, his rating was 161 in that game. He just didn't run. He had -4 yards rushing. Miami, 18 of 26 for 274. Also had 62 yards rushing. Boston College, 20 of 34 for 251, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And then Florida, 18 of 29 for 202, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, another 102 yards rushing. And then you put into what he did against Duquesne and LSU, you're talking about the only real stinker that he's had, in my opinion, was the Notre Dame game. Like, he wasn't good against Clemson, but nobody on their roster would have been good against Clemson at quarterback. That was just a mismatch. But other than that, I think he's played pretty darn well, and he keeps getting better. Like, these QB ratings are kind of absurd. And, you know, I'm looking at it now, Aslan. He's like, I think he's got, let me count it up real quick, 5, 8, 9, 11 touchdowns and 1 interception. In his last, whatever, 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, he protects the heck out of the ball. That's pretty cool.
And he's run for over 100 yards 3 different times. Like, he's just, like,
That's nuts. I can't believe he ran for over 100 against Florida. I don't remember anything.
Yeah, he threw for 200 and ran for 100. And then against North Carolina, he threw for 145 because he only threw 13 times, but he ran for 121. Against Syracuse, he ran for 113. Against Miami, he had 62 yards and 2 touchdowns rushing. So he ended up with 335 yards of total offense. So the point being, he keeps getting better, and he was already, when you just look at those numbers, pretty good. And as much consternation as there is among Florida State fans about Malik Cunningham, and with good reason, man. The guy, I think he had 40-something touchdowns last year combined, 45 or something. The Louisville fans and the Louisville defense has the same worries about Jordan Travis and probably more, which is a good thing. You're in a good spot now where you fully believe that your quarterback can get it done and that this is the guy. And he believes he's the guy, which is really important. But, you know, I said on headlines, I can't envision a scenario where they lose if Jordan Travis outplays Malik Cunningham. And, you know, they're not on the field together. It's not like Jameis versus Mariota where they tried to make it, you know, these two guys against each other. They don't play against each other on the field necessarily. Yeah. But if Jordan Travis outplays Malik Cunningham and doesn't have crazy turnovers, how do you lose the game? I don't know how you lose the game.
I've been trying to say that for 3 days.
It's still an if, though. It's still an if. Let's see what they looks like at home. Well, it's different to play on the road. It's different. Cunningham's had to play on the road for 2 straight games. Let's see what he looks like at home. He'll be more comfortable. So will the offense. Let's see if they find something. But Adam Fuller better hope they don't, because I'm tired of watching LSU score 31 points in the first half Louisville score 31 points in the first half against his defense. This is not a good Louisville offense. They've scored... What have they scored, 27 points in 2 games?
Yeah, 7
Come on,
against
man.
Syracuse.
Come on. Even if they play better than they have all season, which they will, they should not be approaching 30 points. So let's hope the defense locks them down.
I guess they could approach 30 if they play their best game of the year. I mean, that is the one thing, though. It is weird to look at these stats because, I mean, again, Jeff said on War Chant Report, which should be up soon, you know, listen, man, you played a team that's, you know, barely above a high school varsity team in the Southeast in Duquesne. So it really kind of jumbles up the numbers. But, you know, back to what I was kind of saying earlier in the show, man, I think, again, like, Florida State has reached a point now, talent-wise, cohesion on the coaching staff-wise, where, like, Now the rules of football apply to this team when it comes to winning and losing games. It's a bunch of crazy things don't have to happen for Florida State to win football games. The only way they lose to Louisville is if they can't run the ball, which I don't foresee being a problem, and Jordan just getting pressured constantly and not having a clean pocket to throw from. And they're not designed that way. I mean, Louisville just does not have a very pass rush, they're not talented on the edges, and they're on a 3-4 mainly. So their guys aren't explosive dynamic guys coming off the edge. I mean, there's a lot of edge setters trying to set things up for linebackers to make plays, which might help them in a run sort of limiting situation, but I just think Florida State is just so committed to the run. They drill it so hard. They have so many different weapons. Jordan's presence alone and the way that he obviously can throw the ball is something that they haven't had to face right now, because Garrett Schrader can run the ball like a mother from Syracuse, but he can't throw the ball that well. John Rhys Plumlee can run decent but can't throw the ball well at all. Now they're facing a true quarterback that's going to put stress on every sort of level of the defense. And, man, just we can't give away game plan stuff and what they're running in practice, but we've seen some stuff that they've done. I'm not even talking about trick plays. We've seen stuff they did against LSU to, create different just giving guys the ball in space in different situations. And it's just so tough to defend all that. There are just so many different wrinkles, eye candy or whatever you want to call it, that they do that all kind of makes sense, and is there's a method to their madness. I just think, like, good luck defending this defense for 60 full minutes if you cannot just absolutely harass the quarterback on pretty much every single down, which maybe Clemson still can. I haven't seen enough of Miami, but I know they're always talented up front, so you are a little bit cautious about that. Maybe Florida can do that, but I still think Louisville has the horses on defense up front to make it a long night for Jordan, so they're going to have a long night because Jordan's going to make it a long night for them.
Look, like, you know how I feel. If you pick up the blitz and if you beat them on the blitz, which they're going to do a lot of, I think you're going to you should have a bunch of big plays and you should win the game. That's an if, though. We got to see it. I am interested. You know, Jordan's, what does he run like? I think he's got 40 yards rushing, 42 yards rushing this season. That is still an element of his game. And on the road in a tougher environment, when you need third downs picked up, when you need scores in the red zone, you don't want to do a Satterfield where you basically proclaim we're going to run this kid until he can't run anymore. That's our offense. You don't want Jordan Travis to run the ball 15 or 18 or 20 times necessarily, but that is a weapon that has not yet been utilized. And as you said, the Schrader kid ran for over 100 yards against that defense. He's the quarterback. Plumlee ran for 94 yards against that defense. He's the quarterback. They, as every defense is, mainly in 2022, they are very susceptible, good grief, Clark, to an athletic, mobile quarterback. And this guy's one of the best in the country. So I know you want to protect the kid. I know you don't want him to get hurt. But one of the big weapons that he still has, as much as improved he is as he is as a passer and the passing game is improved, are those legs. And I am interested to see if that's a little bit more part of the game plan in this game. Because nothing angers and frustrates a defense more than a dude a quarterback just straight running for 25 yards.
Yeah,
and you guys know it because you're going to see Cunningham do it. So you can answer your quarter. I think your quarterback's probably a better thrower than Cunningham, and Cunningham's a tad bit better runner. But Jordan Travis is a really good runner, man. And 42 yards in two games is a surprise to me. I know one of them was Duquesne, so there was no need. But I want to see. I mean, imagine, because you have to do it a couple of times, man. Like, to open up things for your running backs.
Are you talking about, like, designed runs or him just
designed runs or him pulling the ball?
Okay.
And I'm not talking about scrambles. I'm talking about him pulling the ball and running around the edge. Like, think of the North Carolina 50-yard touchdown he had. Those kind of runs. You've got not just scrambles.
Like, read option stuff where he holds on. Okay, I got it.
Yep. You have to do that. You have to keep them honest. And see how they play it. Like, that game didn't really work much at all against LSU, which was a bit of a, if there was one disappointment I had in that game from the offense, is those running backs and the yards per carry they had, which was like under three. Those running backs are too good. You want to get them going. This is a team to do it against if they're not having nine guys at the line of scrimmage. But to open it up, I think your quarterback's going to have to make some plays with his legs early to open, to soften things up, to make them, bring a free blitzer with your eight guys at the line of scrimmage. And if Jordan Travis makes that guy miss, good luck. because he can turn he can turn a second 10 into an 80-yard touchdown with his legs too. So I just you want his full arsenal on display in this game because I think you're going to need it. I need to see this offense go and dominate a game. Go, like they played well, I thought, against LSU. They still scored 24 points.
Yeah.
That's not a ton. Not in 2022. It's not much at all. It's below national average. To go win this game, you might need to score 35 or 40 points. You might need to. So go do it. There's no law that says you can't. I see it all the time, Aslan. Teams going on the road and putting up 5 or 6 touchdowns. All the time. This team has to go, this offense has to go have a game like that. We can't just be fiddling around in the mid-20s. You're not going to win a ton of games like that. You can win some, but you know, on the road, scoring in the mid-20s, that's not a great recipe to win a game. So go put up 35 or 40, and then you should hopefully, if Fuller can lock that kid down at all, you're going to win the game kind of comfortably. But it's time. It's high time, I say. Rise up, War Chant Nation. It's high time for this offense to go and look like a great offense and actually produce like a great offense.
Jordan Travis, 12 runs, 49 yards, but he's lost 7, so 42 on the season right now, 3.5 yards per carry.
And I wonder how many of those were like scrambles where he got a couple yards here and there. Or yeah, no, I'm sure one of them was a sack. I think they've given up one sack. So that's great, but I wonder how many were like actual designed, we're going to run the ball. Like, I don't even, was the one against LSU the 25-yarder? I know he ran around left end, but I can't remember if that was he pulled it out and ran, or if that was a design, just QB sweep almost. But yeah, he's only busted one run in 2 games. Now it's, small sample size, but this is a kid that can run for 100. As I just documented, he can run for 100 yards in a game. So that is a weapon that you hope you can exploit.
Malik Cunningham had 39 touchdowns last year, 19 in the air, 20 on the ground.
In 1,000 yards rushing. That's crazy, man. God, I mean, that kid, they are wearing him out. You know what I mean? It's smart, I guess, that you don't have much else right now. It wouldn't appear. You don't have an elite receiving core.
They do.
But, yeah, so that is your best player. And, man, it's just that's a hard way to make a living, man, just having your quarterback carry the ball 20 times. Which I would not be surprised if he carries it 18 or 20 times in that game.
Growing up, my dad used to take me to the game at the stadium. We'd watch our favorite team play, and then we'd always eat at Zaxby's. That's why it means so much to me that Zaxby's is the official chicken of college fans. To me, they go together perfectly. It reminds me of my dad and...
Oh, come on, ref! Are you serious? Get some glasses! Terrible call!
Now I take my kids to the game, and we always eat at Zaxby's, too. It's tradition.
We're proud to be the official chicken of college fans. Zaxby's, indescribably good.
And don't forget to listen in for the Zaxby's Indescribably Good Player of the Week every Monday on Wake Up War Chant.
And on the way out, the basketball schedule for the upcoming season has been released. Solid little graphic by the department there. We got Naheem on there. Caleb Mills still on there. We got Jalen Worley, Cameron Fletcher. I don't know who our guy is. I guess that's Matthew Cleveland, who's like laying
down
on the ground.
Yeah.
It's cute. Cute. I like it.
It is.
What stands out to you from the schedule that's dropped here for this upcoming season, Corey? Anything stand out to you?
The first thing I noticed was they play at Duke on New Year's Eve. Sure. Is that this? Will there be a college playoff game on New Year's Eve?
I'll check that.
Because we might be somewhere watching the Noles in a college playoff game, and we won't be able to pay attention to the Florida State Duke game. Nothing really stands out necessarily.
Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl, sorry.
On New Year's Eve?
Yep.
Oh, come on, man. Well, we're going to be in Arizona. We can't monitor the FSU at Duke game. They get Purdue at home. They get Florida at home. It's a nice home schedule. You get Carolina as your last home game, which could be a very, very big game. Maybe you're already in the tournament, but it can improve you a seed line or two if you can beat Carolina, because Carolina's going to be really good. They brought everybody back, and they were a few moments from winning a national championship. So that's a really good team. That's going to be a really big game. That's exciting. But it's the ACC, man. Yeah, Louisville's coming. Notre Dame's coming. Clemson, Miami are coming. That's just what happens. So nothing really stands out. They start November 7th at Stetson, or not at Stetson. Stetson is the first game. That's November 7th, if you're wondering. So mark that on your calendars. And Purdue again in the Big Ten Challenge, because that's who they always have to play. It's amazing. And then they get Florida too. So not early non-conference, and it's really early because I think when's that Louisville game as on? Is it like December 11th?
10th.
I mean, like their seventh game of the year, sixth game of the year, eighth, something like that? Like they start because
it's
like
their 10th, I think.
Because they play 20 ACC games now. They have to start well before Christmas. So they're playing a pivotal ACC game right out of the gate at home against Louisville. And you got to win your home games. You got to stack on and then hope you can steal a couple on the road. That's the recipe. I know we're all football right now, but I think Leonard, if they can stay healthy, which they certainly are due to after last year, they have some pieces, man, including the kid from UCF that can really shoot it. I think he hit 5 or 6 threes in two of their games up in Canada. And they got a guy, they got a marksman, they got a guy that can shoot, like I think PJ Savoy, but more athletic. His role is going to be knock down threes. McLeod's back. He was dominant at times when he was healthy. Yeah. Mills and Cleveland are going to be two of the better scorers in the league. They should be anyway. It's such a great thing that Cleveland came back, man.
Yeah.
That's just awesome. Good for him.
Thank you.
I mean, really. Legitimately, thank you, Matthew, because I can't wait to see how improved he is. He was already pretty good as a freshman, and he's going to take, I think, a leap after a year in the ACC, especially a year where – a lot of his cohorts were hurt, and he had to be out there by himself or with other freshmen and kind of carrying the load. I just can't wait to see what he looks like as a sophomore, because in this day and age, you didn't almost expect him to come back. So to get a sophomore year out of him, Worley should be improved. I think they have a chance to be pretty darn good, man. It's just a matter of it's a lot of new dudes, man. It's a lot of new guys, how quickly they can gel and if they can play defense, which I think they care. I mean, you know they care. I think if they can play defense – and not give up a ton of threes, I think they got a good shot to have a good team, man.
Any concern? Ham is Bowden, turn of the millennium. Like, you know, he lost Gates, he lost Chuck. Thing kept going, then he loses Richt, he lost CY, and then things start kind of.
I thought you meant Chuck Walsh. I'm like, Chuck Walsh is still here, baby. Leonard didn't lose the SID, the great SID, Chuck Walsh.
Ain't going anywhere.
You meant a motto for Bowden.
Yeah.
No, man, he's got Stan. Like, and I'm not, you know.
I don't know, but CY was up and at him, you know, yes. Coaching during games, too.
Yeah, well, he was. And I'm not dismissing what he did, but I also don't dismiss Leonard's ability to hire good people. Because look at him. Look at his history, man. That's all he does. So the people that he's gotten to replace those two guys are going to be pretty darn good, because Leonard has a great track record of it. And he's got Stan, who is also one of his X's and O's guys. Where you miss, especially CY, man. CY was such a great recruiter. So was Dennis, man. They were both very good recruiters. And I'm not that some when you say that a lot, people hear, oh, he can't coach. He's there for recruit. No, CY and Dennis Gates know the game. They are very good basketball minds too.
They're in Missouri, man.
They're in Missouri. I mean, Dennis Gates is the head coach at Missouri. What he did at Cleveland State is nuts. So they know the game as well. CY, I hope, will be a head coach one day as well. He really knows and understands the game. But so Leonard and Stan and
RJ
Smith
and Marsh, and
they know the game too. CY was a fly in the ointment for the big boys when it came to recruiting, because he was great. But what does it matter anymore, Aslan? I think it's all about NIL. So who really cares about recruiters anymore? I don't even know if that matters. You can put that on your resume. Doesn't matter how good a recruiter you are. Can you get an NIL deal for the kid? That's all that matters.
Do you have a passport to go across the pond and pick up talent? Because that's where Florida State's fishing from now.
Yeah, and the kid, what's his name?
Bob Miller.
I'm really interested in that kid too. Like they got some pieces, man. They always do. It always seems like Leonard has 12 dudes, and only 5 can be on the court. He's got 12 dudes that have a role that can play and that can at one point lead. You know, they had that game that year two or three years ago where they had 11 different leading scorers, which is it's got to be close to a national record. I mean, there's only 15 guys on scholarship. 11 of those 15 guys led you in scoring is nuts. But that's how Florida State is. So it's just a matter, again, I think, of cohesion, of figuring out roles and rotations. Because he's got a lot of pieces. Sometimes I think he has too many pieces. Like Krzyzewski's like, I'm good with my six. I don't need any. I don't need 12 or 4. But Krzyzewski's guys were all top 10 picks. Leonard has to do it a different way. But you use that early season. Hopefully you can pick up some big wins, man. Purdue's going to be good. Florida will probably be good. Louisville will probably be pretty good. Though all those wins early in the season in December can matter when it comes to March. Because you, again, maybe you're fighting on the bubble, which we hope not. Or maybe you're fighting to be a 2 or a 3 or a 4 seed as opposed to a 7 seed. And those wins in December do matter.
And also, Jalen Gainey, the guy from Brown, from the Ivy League, was a defensive force up there.
Defensive powerhouse, hopefully. Hopefully that works, too. But and I imagine a pretty smart kid if he's coming from Brown.
Indeed, yeah. And Darren Green's the player from UCF, so.
He was Brady. I think he was Brady's counselor at the camp, the Leonard Hamilton camp. Brady was a big fan of him.
Gotcha. All right, hope you've been a big fan of the show, everybody. Hit the thumbs up on the way out. We'll be live 6 p.m. Eastern time, Corey and myself. On YouTube, doing the podcast. Again, be on the lookout for the Renegade Express thread. Probably put that up around lunchtime on Wednesday. Probably going to keep it open until quitting time, 5 p.m. or so. So get your questions in, and we'll do a show. That'll be your Friday podcast as we get on the road Thursday. Go watch Florida State in their first true road test, ACC opener.
When are you getting into town? When are you getting into town in Louisville on Thursday, Aslan?
I arrive into Muhammad Ali International Airport at 6:10 p.m.
And are you staying downtown?
No, come on. Yes, you know how expensive it is downtown right now? Golly. That'd be a house payment.
About 20 minutes away?
Yeah, east side of town.
I was going to say, so we're up there. We get up there Thursday, like you do. But we've got tickets to the Bourbon Beyond Festival on Thursday night, which is their big music festival there. Going to go see a little Alanis Morissette on Thursday night. And then Jack White. Is after her. And then Saturday night, we got Pearl Jam. But, you know, obviously Friday night is the game, so we won't be there on Friday night. But after Thursday night after Alanis, maybe we can get together, buddy. And Friday, hopefully we can, I don't know, maybe we'll go to Churchill Downs. We'll figure something out to do, right?
Yeah,
when do you fly out?
I fly out 3:30 out of Destin or Fort Walton Beach, whatever that airport is.
No, I'm sorry. When do you fly out of Louisville?
Oh, Saturday 1 in the afternoon.
Okay, so you'll be back. You'll be back in time for A&M Miami.
Absolutely, I love my Saturdays, man. I really wasn't able to enjoy it all that much. I had company over, so Saturday's going to be a.
Ooh, you had company over this Saturday? Why didn't we hear about that? Was it our girl from New Orleans?
No, it's the young lady from Apalachicola who's
only here for
a few more months or whatever. But her car ended up having an issue, like a gas leak. So she hung around Saturday too, but it was cool though. Like I literally looked at her. I'm like, listen, I'm going to watch football for like the next 8 or 9 hours now, probably after we helped her get her car situated. And she's like, okay. So she sat there and like did her own thing. And like, as I watched football and then later on at night, she's like, well, I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, all right, cool. So she just went in the bedroom and watched Netflix on her laptop and passed out while I watched the UFC fight. And then like the first half of Baylor, BYU, which is that's all I want in this life. I just want a woman who's like, all right, cool. I don't need to sit here and watch football with you. I don't need to drink the beer and eat the chicken wings with you. Just I'll be in the other room. Awesome.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong if she did.
There's not. But just we all have preferences. I have my preference.
I like that you kind of tell them what's up. Like, look, leave or don't leave, but here's what I'm doing. I'm not here to make you happy. But also the fact, I think it's a good sign, man. I don't know what you're trying to do here,
she's
going.
She moves away at the end of the year.
Doesn't matter. Hey, man, I'm in Atlanta half the time. Stephanie's in Tallahassee. We make it work. But I'm saying, like, the fact that y'all can sit there and be cool with each other and just do your own thing and still like to be around each other. I mean, I think that's a good sign, buddy.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, it is. Well, it was a good sign with the ex-girlfriend, too, and then we saw that happen, so.
Well, that's on at some point. Yeah, well, you blame yourself for all this anyway, I think, is what we're figuring out. But maybe she can fight through all that Aslan kind of, I don't know, like, premortal slime sludge that you have. And then get through to the heart.
The primordial sludge, you're trying to say I'm just a toxic masculine or something like that?
I think there's some stuff to get through. And once you get through that sludge.
I mean, you make it sound like you're just an absolute cupcake with Stephanie. I mean, you give Stephanie the business, man. That poor lady, she's got some. She's got some resiliency dealing with you.
Absolutely. I mean, are you kidding? Her and Shanna both are like, what are you talking about, Corey? I'm not saying that. But early on, I think early on, I'm a much nicer person, which isn't the best thing. You're more upfront with them, I think.
This
is
what you're signing up for. I just thought that's what you're signing up for. This is year one. This could be year 31. This is how it's going to be.
I didn't start barking at Stephanie for the way she drove until like 4 or 5 months in.
Okay.
You know, that was my thing. But until then, it was like, oh, that's fine. I mean, I guess you're just going to you're gonna really wait till the last minute to stop. That's cute. But after that, or you're only going to drive 40 in a 45. That's okay. That's it. Hey, it's fun. We're having a good time. Isn't this awesome? But as you get further along, you're like, okay, well, you're going 40 in a 45. Well, you quit talking and maybe speed up. People are passing us on the right. So, yeah, agreed. But I feel like I show the softer side earlier on. I like that you kind of get it all out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no surprises. Speaking of which, should we holler as we leave? Should we holler at this guy who emailed us? Who's apparently a professor in the Department of Chemical Engineering at the University of Louisville.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Hoping to blow up a spot there. But he said he would love to meet up Thursday night and get us a drink while we're in town. We have a fairly active alumni group here. Not sure it's going to be New Orleans level turnout, but I will spread the word and try to get a few others out.
Well, here's the problem, and we won't say his name. We don't want to blow up his spot necessarily, like you said. But I hope and assume he's listening. Like I said, I'm going to be at Atlantis, and then I won't be back into the downtown area probably till like 11 or so. So ooh. Thursday night would be tough. But I don't know, man. Maybe a Friday. Tell us where you guys all are Friday before the game.
Okay.
There's got to be a bunch of Noles tailgating somewhere. If there's a get together with the booster club at the Florida State Booster Club in Louisville, like any sort of get together at all before the game.
Alumni club.
We could grace it with an appearance, couldn't we, Aslan?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they sign up for the website, it's only $1, everybody.
And we need proof. We need proof that you've signed up.
He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up Board Champ, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.